Son of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. And if you remember, last Sunday's gospel ended with Jesus asking his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." You know, Peter got the answer right. But in today's gospel, we discover that Peter understood the title Messiah very differently from the way Jesus understood it. So Jesus now begins to tell his disciples what kind of Messiah he will be. "The Son of Man," he says, "must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering, and at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." These words must have shocked the disciples. A Messiah was supposed to be strong, to conquer, to defeat Israel's enemies, and restore God's people. But Jesus here was talking about suffering, rejection, and death. And Peter could not accept it. So Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." You know, Peter loved Jesus. Peter wanted to protect Jesus. Peter could not imagine that suffering and the cross could possibly be part of God's plan. But Jesus responds with some of the strongest words he ever speaks to Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Now, there is something almost startling about the contrast. Last Sunday, Jesus called Peter the rock. "Peter, you are the rock." But today, Jesus calls Peter, "You are a stumbling block." The rock has become a stumbling block. And then Jesus delivered an additional shock when he declared that the said suffering and death of his messiahship were also part and parcel of those who follow him. "If anyone wants to become my follower, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and for those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life?" Notice here how discipleship is unfolding. Remember that in the beginning, the disciples had already left everything to follow Jesus. The first disciples left their boats, their nets, their homes, and their familiar lives. They knew that there was a cost to following Jesus. What they did not yet understand was that everything would mean denying themselves, taking up their cross, and then following him. Everything here would include self-denial, the cross to where a person dies. The disciples were very slow to understand this. And if we are honest, so are we. We begin by saying, "Yes, Jesus, I will follow you." And then little by little we discover that following Jesus always asks us to deny ourselves, to let go of things we would rather hold on to. It may mean choosing faithfulness rather than popularity, service rather than recognition, generosity rather than accumulation, and reconciliation rather than revenge. And then we discover further that following Jesus involves the carrying of the cross. Sometimes this cross is not something we choose at all. Sometimes suffering comes to us simply because we are human beings living in a broken world. We experience illness, grief, disappointment, injustice, aging, loss, and death. And Jesus does not promise us a life without crosses. But he promises us that he will walk with us on the way. But there is something important that we must remember. The cross is not the end of the story. If we stop at verse 24 of the gospel reading, we might think that Christianity is simply a call to suffer. But Jesus, if you read the gospel reading, continues, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." This is the great reversal that runs throughout Jesus' teaching. The first will be last, the last will be first, the master will become the servant will be lifted up. Jesus is not glorifying suffering for its own sake. He is showing us another way to live. It means that there are, in a sense, two roads before us. One road says, protect yourself at all costs. Look out for number one. Avoid anything that might cost you. The other road says, trust God. Give yourself away in love. Serve. Forgive. Follow Jesus, even when the road is difficult. So one road is traveled primarily by fear. The other road is traveled by faith. And we face these two roads again and again in our day-to-day lives. To illustrate these two roads, I have a beautiful story connected with a small chapel in Rome called the Chapel of the Quo Vadis along the ancient Appian Way. According to an ancient Christian tradition, Peter was in Rome during a time of great persecution. He became frightened and discouraged. Perhaps he felt that he had done enough. Perhaps he thought the best thing he could do was leave Rome and save himself. So Peter began walking out of the city. And along the road, he encountered Jesus. And Peter asked Jesus, "Quo vadis, Domine?" Which means, "Where are you going, Lord?" And according to the story, Jesus answered that he was going to Rome to be crucified again. Therein then, Peter understood. He turned around. He went back toward Rome. And according to tradition, Peter eventually died there, crucified upside down. Whether or not every detail of the story can be historically verified, this story has endured because it captures something deeply true about the road of true discipleship. What I think most of us know something about that road. We may not face this kind of persecution Peter faced, most of us will never be asked to make the dramatic choice he made. But every day, in small and sometimes very significant ways, we stand at a crossroad. Will I choose fear or faith? Will I choose what is easiest or what is faithful? Will I ask what is best for me or what is God's will calling me to do? The way of Jesus is not necessarily the safe road. It is not always the popular road, but it is the road of love. It is the road that gives itself away and discovers surprisingly that in giving ourselves away, we become more fully alive. And perhaps that is why I would like to end this homily by these words of Robert Frost, which speak so powerfully to our choice. Remember that part of his poem. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Amen.